broadcasting live from somewhere in the desert, posting up truth like a stamp in the corner of a letter. It's Leander Grace of Out Loud. Amid lies we seek truth. Amid truth we awaken. And once awakened, we speak truth everywhere. Now we're opening night and powering to reveal what's been hidden in plain sight. It's time for Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, good evening out there, and a hearty hello to Lottie Dottie and every other body and all you star seeds and your light workers. Got some avatars listening in, and of course our spirit and space force rangers. I want to shout out to all you scholars out there doing the work and doing the digging, the work for whom is not for sissies. We want to welcome you here to Empathic Channel. It is Monday, July 24th, 2023, and we are broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. Our goal today, as it has become our habit, is to help folks with an empowering assist on the road to owning your own experience. I am your host and Empathic Channel, Leander Grace, and I want to welcome you to tonight's broadcast. The connections are clear and the pipes are wide open and the view of it all is spectacular on so many levels. I've been doing some study and I'm still blown away by some of the things that I'm coming upon as I read and I study. And we is inclusive, of course. We are blessed to be able to share with you all today. Hopefully I can get all of the words out. I thought I was pretty relaxed, but my words seem to be stumbling a little bit. Maybe I'll need to get a drink. Our namesake program, the one that started it all here for us, is Holistic Truth on Wednesday. We'll be there live. Good Lord willing, the creek don't rise. We'll be talking about our human experience, whether it's the things on the world stage or the things that we're concerned about or the stuff of the past or looking forward to the future. We'll talk about it all on that program. We get a little long-winded and all of that stuff. But here on Empathic Channel, it's just a little bit of, you know, do some readings and some wisdom and all that. And we want to have a little bit of lessons this evening, too. I want to bring forward some of the stuff that I've been reading, some of the stuff from Pistis Sophia. I've mentioned it on the program before. But I do, if we have an opportunity, you know, I want to go ahead and bring some of it on forward to the program tonight because it is relevant. The whole writing of the book and what it is and what it's composed of is very relevant to the things that we are experiencing today. And it explains, even through scripture, goes back and forth, some of the things that Holy Spirit and us and we, the body of Christ, are going through even today. And it was a really strange experience as I was doing my morning reading this morning. I was reading and I was like, this could be in the headlines right now. This could be parallel to everything that's going on today. And so we may talk about that a little bit as well. So we do hold a space. We continue, of course, on this program as well and on this broadcast to hold a space of peace, love, and grace while the Great Awakening continues to accelerate across the face of the earth. And my goodness, we are seeing things being uncovered. There's all kinds of people waking up because of all of this light that's going on. Now, it seems to be there's a little bit of a lull that's going on, and I'm kind of grateful for it. Ooh, all of that spiking and all of that data and all of those upgrades, it can shake us, I'll tell you what. And it pleases God to shake us. Now, you know, we're gonna talk about Empathic Channel. We're going to talk about empathic gifts. We're going to talk about Empathy 101 and all the things that I have there done on the broadcast. But I do want to say a little bit about, and I just lost my train of thought, so the Father's going to have to bring it back into my awareness before we do. So evidently it'll have to come back up. Here on Empathic Channel, it is just compassionate wisdom and readings. Hopefully there's wisdom. You decide. And of course, the readings, and a little bit about the readings before we get too far into it. Readings are, simply put, guidance from Spirit. There's a spirit in man, according to Job 32:8. There's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. We do take all the calls in the studio. We trust my gold soul guardian team to take care of the filters and the translations and all the rest. That's sort of how it works. We also respect all boundaries and dignity of person and spirit. Boundaries are very important. as to an empath. So ask a question, get an answer. Guardians love questions, and so do I, and we're also here to have some fun. Remember, laughter is such good medicine, and we look for the teachable moments as well, and those calls that perhaps reflect the pulse of global questioning. You know, when people ask what types of topics, what types of questions, the response from the guardians is, it's your call. Simply be respectful. So that call-in number, before we get too far, right off the bat, I'll give it to you, but we will go into a little bit of a teaching. That call-in number is 563-999-3647. Again, that call-in number is 563-999-3647. So as long as you're respectful, we will take your call and we will talk about what it is that you want to bring to the programs. Most of the time, you know, it's a little bit, we get playing with our mental blocks and we see our path down the road, but we just can't seem to get there. Sometimes there's distractions and things that are in our way that we can't necessarily see. A lot of times the guardians say it's just a simple fix. It's just another simple changing the way that we look at things can make a humongous effect in the way that we move forward. So there you have that. So empathy 101, you know, we talk about empathy. This is empathic channel, and that's the whole basic of everything that we do is empathy. And what empathy is emotional energy. It's that energy that we can pick up with our emotional neurological centers. And then some of us can decode it, and some decode it very, very well, and some work at it. But we can always detect a change in the emotional field around us, you know, and in the scriptures, this reflected in, you know, when Joseph was, when Jacob was working for, you know, his years of tribulation, when he was working for his betrothed, for Rachel and Leah, you know, guys, you know what? I'm getting some real sonic interference. So what I'm going to do is take a minute. I'm getting some definite sonic interference. This isn't spiritual interference. This seems to be some EM happening that's going on because I'm having skips and jumps in my thinking, and that is not at all normal, and that's not at all regular. So I went ahead and just brought it to the fore, and I'm going to go ahead and give a little prayer so Holy Spirit can come in and strengthen the signal, and then we can move forward. Father, I just want to bring you, thank you for this program, and thank you for this time, and I want to give this program to you. I want to ask you to help my mind to stay focused on what it is you have for me. If there is any outside interference that is not of you, Father, I pray that you stand in the gap and you stand in between and you dissolve that signal interference so that I can hear you only and not be disturbed by any sonic noise that's going on from any adversarial weapon that could be aimed directly at me, Father. I thank you so much for your protection and for your guidance in this, knowing that you will be faithful because this gift is for you. I pray this and lift this up in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so let's go forward. Man, I'll tell you what, when I have problems hearing the Father, it really is unsettling to me because it's generally a constant stream of information, and when that gets interrupted, it becomes very unsettling, and it is not usual for that interruption to occur while I'm on the air, and it happened not once, but two or three times, just in the matter of course. So I'm going to go ahead and back up. We're going to start over because that's what we do when we get all flustered up, and we're going to talk about empathy 101. We're going to talk about grounding, containment, and boundaries, and I'm also going to bring in a little bit of the pistis sophia, as I said, and the Father says, yes, make sure you concentrate on it and bring this in because this is the evening so that they can see these things. Now, when we're talking about all this light data that's coming in, thank you, Father, for the connection to be clear. When we're talking about all this light data that's coming in, when we're talking about solar flares that affect us, and when we're talking about, you know, the almost oppressing feeling, yes, Father, now I see the whole picture. It's like, it was very difficult before. Understand that just as in the scriptures, now I want you to see a parallel, I want you to see a metaphor on this. You know, in the scriptures we're told, I think it's in the Psalms, we're told that, you know, that the Father crushed him, meaning Christ, meaning Jesus on the cross, because we assume that it's on the cross, but we say that the Father crushed him and that it pleased the Father to crush him. And I want to submit to you that some of the crushing is an emotional crushing to help squeeze out anything that would be of imperfection. You say, well, Leander Grace, we're talking about Jesus Christ, the perfect Savior. Yes, he is the perfect Savior. There is no doubt that Jesus is the perfect Savior. That is not in question. But understand that there's also a process, and there was a point at which he came into his ministry and he was baptized. And then he was immediately taken into the wilderness to be tempted. And I'm going to tell you that according to the scriptures, there was crushing in the temptation to see if he would waver in the commitment. Remember, the adversary at the end, he says, hey, you don't have to do any of this. All you have to do is just give, you know, just bow down to me. I'll let you have it all. You just bow down to me. You don't have to go through any of it. There was a crushing. And it pleased the Father to crush him. Why? To prove his odor was sweet. To prove the myrrh was there. To prove the oil was fresh. And that's a metaphor. That's almost an empathic metaphor. It's very colorful, very feely, very yummy. Because at the end of it, at the end of the process of the sanctification, things are very yummy. It just is. And after, you know, that's the way that is. So with this light that's coming in, I want us to understand that we are bags of mostly water. We hold an electrical charge. We rely on quanta of light. Everything is made up of light. Anything in our physical universe that we call a physical universe is actually quanta of light that is vibrating at such a low rate of speed that it has a solid feel. That's just the scientific explanation of our world. We call it solid, and then if we get too far down that hole, we have to redefine what solid is, and that's absolutely pointless. But I want us to understand that these streams of light that we talk about are scriptural. When we read in the Psalms and when we read in the prophets, especially in the Psalms and when we read in Proverbs and we read in Solomon and the like, we, you know, the metaphors, the poetic metaphors that are used are, you know, the streams came down and it came into an ocean. And this metaphor is actually explained in Pistis Sophia. The metaphors that we fail to understand that are in the scriptures, whether it be in Psalms or whether it be another, that the Pistis Sophia can helps to to explain it. And this is what I mean. The Pistis Sophia is a work that was written that explains the time after the crucifixion, the resurrection, and Christ going to be with the Father and then returning to teach the disciples for a period of time. And the Pistis Sophia, amongst some other writings as well, is a compilation that explains the light, explains actually the path of Sophia, the light power that was plagued by Yaldabaoth, the lion-headed serpent, and the light power that stayed under the dome with us in chaos to help us get to the end to now. And what is explained in the Pistis Sophia as Jesus is teaching his disciples is the path that Sophia, which is the wisdom, which is the voice of the first light, the path through all the way falling and then the ascension back up. And it speaks, the apostles, or part of the disciples, are speaking to Jesus, and he is, well, in the medical field, we call it, you know, pimping the proverbs, but it's basically questioning the students and checking for understanding. So what the Savior was doing, what the perfect Savior Jesus was doing, was quoting a struggle of Sophia, and then the disciples would echo back the scripture that contained the solution and the repentance of Sophia. Let me give you an example of what I'm speaking of, and I'm going to come up here to the top to where it's a little bit easier. Now, when I've gone through this, the King James Version of the numbering of the Psalms is off by one. So in this text, it says Prophet David in the 24th Psalm, when actually it's the 25th Psalm that we find in the King James Version. So I'm going to give you just a little flavor of some of the things that you'll find in Pistis Sophia. And this is the seventh. They're talking about the different repentances of Sophia. And you say, well, why did Sophia need to repent? Well, Sophia fell. She was fooled, and the power was stolen. Because why? Well, she was fooled. She was told the same as Eve, the same power that is in Sophia that we'll talk about that traveled all the way through the prophets, including David. And the disciples say, well, this right here is where you prophesied when your power was in David. When your power was in David, David prophesied this through the Psalms. And so it's the Pistis Sophia text itself that helps us close the loop and see what Jesus is teaching his disciples about himself all through the scriptures, mainly so far on Isaiah and in David, and well, some of the other prophets as well. But there's a lot of the Psalms, especially the Psalms of Ascent, or what we call the Psalms of Ascent. I think it's Psalm 120 through 134, something like that. And these are the pleadings of Sophia to the great light, to God the Father, to help her navigate back up through the eons, back up through the levels of heaven, back up through to the perfection and the struggle that she had. And what I find interesting to note in this particular compilation of text is that she is challenged continuously by what is called, and I'm going to, this is the term that's used, the emanations of the lion-faced deity, the lion-faced false god, the false light, the Yaldabaoth. And when she would be, in the scriptures, when she would be successful, then Yaldabaoth would lose his mind and just explode into all kinds of emanations to attack her. Why? Because he knew that if she was successful, if Sophia was successful, that it would end up in Jesus Christ. Yeah, that's how potent this is, the book Pistis Sophia, because what it shows is God's conscious effort to bring Holy Spirit through all of the pages of the Testaments, if you forgive the wording as being such, to the point of Jesus HaMashiach Nagi. And then the Pistis Sophia is him teaching this path to the disciples so that they can teach it. It's an excellent discourse between the teacher and his students, and I enjoy reading it very, very much. And one of the key figures in there is Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene is like the deal, according to the Pistis Sophia. She was favored more than the other disciples. In fact, what we learn is in the public teaching, in the compilation that we have, the harmony of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, they were written for public discourse. They were written for public consumption. They were written to be compiled and to be included as the Torah, or the completion of the Torah. But these other scribes, namely Matthew, Thomas, and Philip, they were scribes of this Talmudim, if you will, this Talmudim teaching, this which was deeper than what was the public teaching, because these disciples were going to be holding the light, absolutely, this is a term, they were going to be holding the light power from the Father, and it would return to them in the last times. So all of this, what we're seeing is the fulfillment of these prophecies, fulfillment of these scriptures, and these things coming about. So I highly recommend it. I mean, we have Mary, his mother, was one of his students. Martha was one of the students that's mentioned, and Mary Magdalene. And so I offer that to you guys to take a look. You can find that also at sacredtexts.com and under the collection of the Gnostic Society from the Nag Hammadi Library. It's a complete connection. Now, it's a lengthy book. I've been reading it for a couple of days now. It's over 350 pages. It's not a small book. It's not a small collection of works, and it takes time because I'm one that goes back and I make sure that the scriptures are exactly what this text says the scriptures are. And so far, I've, except for the numbering of the chapters, the texts are completely accounted for. So here in chapter 8, let me go ahead and read this. It says in chapter 8, the emanations of self-willed, and that's what they call the Aldabaoth, the self-willed one, self-willed ceased for a time to oppress Sophia. And when Jesus had said this unto his disciples, he answered again and said unto them, it came to pass then, when the lion-faced power had noticed that Pistis Sophia had been led up altogether out of the chaos, that it came again with all the other material emanations of self-willed, and they oppressed Sophia again. And it came to pass then, when they oppressed her, that she cried out in the same repentance, saying, have mercy on me, O light, whom we call the Father, which is actually forefather, but for they have oppressed me again. Because of thy commandment, the light in me is distracted, and my power and my understanding, my power has begun to wane. And so she goes on, and she's pleading to God. She's talking to the Father. She's like, yes, all of these things have gone on, and because of this and this, and I'm turning to you, and I'm so sorry. Well, what does she have to be sorry about? Because isn't Pistis Sophia the very one that started it all? What? Anna Grace, yeah, I was going to wait till Wednesday. The Father said, no, go ahead and say it now. Was it not Pistis Sophia that emanated the false one? And was it not her that was fooled by the false one? And so was it not her that took responsibility to stay in the chaos, to fall in the chaos, to help get this all the way through, even inclusive of Jesus Christ, which is what he speaks of himself and reflects into the scriptures to point it out to us. Then it's a discourse of Jesus helping Sophia. Oh, it gets really good. And Mary's involved, and Mother Mary's involved. It's all kind of nice. It's all nice, neat little package. Now, does any of this so far contradict anything in the integrated messaging system that we collectively call the Torah and the Torah or the Bible? Nope. But it does do a good job of explaining some of the things that we do not yet understand, those teachings that he taught the disciples. Would we have been able to understand this some time ago? I don't know, but I do know that if this had come out into the public some time ago, it would already be twisted by the adversary and by the Jesuits, and we wouldn't be able to make sense of it or appreciate it for the work that it is. So why do I bring this up now? Well, because one of the biggest things that this self-willed, lion-headed emanation, lion-faced power did was pursued her relentlessly. Pursued her relentlessly, wanted her light, wanted her to be less than, although she ranked higher than everybody. Well, not everybody, but everybody. She made herself lower, and then she was subject to the torments of the self-willed one. So it was a dance all the way through time. It was a dance all the way through the scriptures. And she was willing to go through it and pay the price and do the hard work and all of that stuff. And it almost cost her her light more than one time, according to this text. So I'm interested in seeing it all the way through the end, and I'll be continuing to read that. I did want to share it with you. It's very exciting stuff. It goes right hand in hand with the divine Pymander. It goes hand in hand with Trimorphic Protonoia. And it goes hand in hand with another book that I'm reading from the Nag Hammadi Library, and that is the Sophia of Jesus Christ. You say, what? The Sophia, the wisdom, the Sophia. Sophia is a Greek word of wisdom, and it's the personification of wisdom of Jesus Christ. And here's a taste of it. It says, the perfect Savior said to him, before anything is visible of those that are visible, the majesty and the authority are in him, since he embraces the whole of the totalities, or the whole of the totalities, while nothing embraces him. For he is all mind, and he is thought and considering and reflecting and rationality and power. They are all equal powers. They are the sources of the totalities. So this is, again, another bit, a little bit deeper of it to understand the inner workings, or how the things work that we don't see. And empathy is the thing that we don't see. But what I will say this about all of these texts, and even the scriptures themselves, the one thing that they all insist on is boundaries. And so we'll talk about the three topics that we have picked out: grounding, containment, and boundaries. And now with grounding, with the empathy 101, it's really easy when people are emotional to get carried away, get an emotional going. It's very, very easy. You know, and one of the callers asked last week, they said, well, what is it, you know, when you're around a lot of people and all the excitement is this, how do you navigate through that? And one of the things is grounding. You know, when I'm going out into a public venue and I know there's going to be a lot, well, the smartest thing that I could do is to eat a meal and get that physical sensation going. You know, my body becomes real. And another source of grounding is walking, you know, barefoot on the ground, and those sort of things. Just things that make you feel real. Because when you're working in scripture and working in spirit, sometimes you can feel very surreal or unreal. And it's not easy to talk to people when you're in that state, so you want to become real with grounding. And we'll talk about some of those exercises when we come back from the other side of the break. That was a whole bunch of information to put up out front of Pistis Sophia, but I guess it was pretty important to put it out there. That's what I've been studying lately, and I'm fascinated by it. I studied it some years ago. It's not the first time I took a look at it, but a lot of things happened between then and now, and so I'm enjoying it, reading it nearly almost like for the first time, I'm having a good time, and I'll be sharing it with you. As we go. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We're going to go ahead and take a short little break. Not even a short break. We're going to take a regular size break. Why not? Just a regular old size break, and then we'll be coming back. We're going through a lot. We'll be having a lot revealed. Even on the world stage, we're finding out things that may surprise us, or maybe we're just now finding the things that we've already known are just now finding their way into the mainstream media. You know, but that doesn't mean that we have to wait for the media to tell the truth, or we don't have to wait for arrests, and we don't have to wait for all the sensational headlines to let the healing of some of these things that have gone on and have bothered us and have set us aback. You know, we don't have to wait for all of those other things to happen before we allow the healing to begin within ourselves already. And that's the song I want to bring, is Let the Healing Begin. It's a 3-minute break. We'll be back on the other side. I am your host, Leanna Grace. Let the healing begin.
And cold as stone, holding the weight of the world, searching for someone to drop it on.
There's a place we can go where pain slowly fades away. There's grace for the soul, with a silent prayer and a heart on fire.
lies, we seek truth. Amid truth, we awaken. It's Leander Grace Out Loud, because your silence will not protect you. Oh, no, you got to speak up. You got to communicate effectively. That's what you got to do. Welcome back here to Empathic Channel. I am your host, Leander Grace, part of a NatStream network on Holistic Truth Channel, broadcasting live on Blog Talk Radio. We're coming back here. We're going to be talking about Empathy 101, just like we started. Then God said, nope, we're going to talk about this other. I'm like, okay, let's do that. Now we're coming back to Empathy 101. I'm going to talk about some grounding. You know, some grounding exercises. It can be good, you know, toy set, get a good meal and do all of those things. You know, it's kind of like along the lines of you don't go shopping when you're hungry. Right? You don't go into a crowded place, especially if you're an empath or if you are a highly sensitive person, without some type of grounding tool, if you know that you're an empathic and you have some discipline with it. So one of my things, I put my hands on my legs, on my thighs. Simply putting my hands on my thighs helps me to be real, helps me to feel my body. And it's not like anything other than just a light touch, and that keeps me grounded in the moment. And the reason for these tools, I'm going to bring it to when we get to boundaries. I think you'll understand why we're doing it in this order. One of the other good disciplines is containment. Not everybody needs to know how you're feeling, why you're feeling it, and the history behind the emotion that you seem to be displaying. And the thing about boundaries is it comes to a great big thing called emotional discipline. You know, and it's not always an easy discipline to cultivate, but as an empath, if you are an emoter, you know, containment is important because you become contagious. Your mood becomes disruptive or contagious. Now, that can be good if it's a happy, free mood, but if it's an icky mood, then other people can contain your mood. And a lot of times people who have what I call contagious moods or emotive tendencies is it doesn't seem as though they're not happy until they make you feel the way they're feeling, right? Again, this comes with boundaries. So folks who are not disciplined in containing their emotions and they have their emotional outbursts and all that, a lot of times, unless you answer that emotional outburst, which is a no-win deal, you know, they're going to continue to escalate and escalate until something interrupts them. They become that dog up and down and up and down and down the fence. They're going to bite somebody. And they have not yet learned how to contain. And a lot of them will not, a lot of folks don't know how to stop until you have bit back or till you have said something harsh in return. Those people are toxic, and I tend to stay away from those kinds of people. So boundaries, what are we talking about with boundaries? Well, you know, it all kind of goes together with grounding, containment, and boundaries, and all of those other things. Is there's kind of a rule in the world of the Creator of boundaries. You know, you don't covet somebody else's boundary, basically. Don't get in their space if they don't want you in their space. And I've seen some undisciplined empaths, they're intuitives, they have the gift, but the lack of discipline has them running up to people and giving them their opinion of a reading without an invitation. And that's uncontained. There's no grounding, there's no direction in that. And then that person, whether you think you need to tell that person something or not, they may not want to hear it. And then that is become important for you to tell them, and they don't want to hear it. And so self-discipline and containment of information is also important, especially if you have this kind of a gift. And another boundary that I need to speak about is a personal boundary, emotional boundaries, spiritual boundaries, all of those things. You know, and I've come across a lot of different kinds of stuff over the years, and I've sidestepped a lot of different kinds of emotional landmines that were set sometimes unintentionally and sometimes on purpose. And my biggest tool in the tool shop, in my little toolbox that I carry around of my empathic tools is that when someone is going to start a fight, I do not show up. I don't show up emotionally, I don't show up physically, and I certainly don't give up my attention. There's a lot of unnervedness, it seems, going on out there that I've been witnessing and seeing. And here's the thing that we have to that I have to remember for me, and I'm suggesting, highly suggest, that we start using this as a discipline, is your need, somebody else's need to unload what's on their chest doesn't give them a right to unload it on somebody. It just doesn't. And I'm seeing a lot of people getting anxious and they're getting frustrated and all of this, and then they just puke garbage all over the place. And now there's a mess, and everybody's like, what's that about? And now everybody's looking at the mess rather than focusing on the task. And what I've had to come to a decision about is choosing the type of, even the type of speech that I will have around me. And I don't like drunk talk. I just don't. I don't like drunk talk. I don't like sarcasm. I don't like in-your-face stuff. I don't like tit-for-tat stuff. I don't want to be around it. And the reason I don't is because I can't hear the information through the emotional outburst. And it comes through no matter whether someone is standing in front of me or beside me, or if it's even a recorded audio or whatever it is. That type of energy surrounding a message, I can't hear the message, so I choose not to listen to it. And it seems that some folks, and I'm just going to say it, they're trying to get my attention the very wrong way, and my attention will go elsewhere. I take care of my emotional boundaries as best that I can. And I just do. It's very important that I keep the pipes clear and I keep the channel open. And as I keep the pipes clear and the channel open, then I stay boundaried and I stay contained and I stay grounded. And so some of the things that are going on in the cues that I'm looking, it's just like I can't even listen to it. I can't even listen to it. It upsets me, and I can't do my job, and I can't study the word, and I can't commune with the Father when I'm getting upset about somebody else's garbage. So that's just kind of what I have to say about that, with grounding and containment and boundaries. We have to speak kindly to each other if we want to be heard. And my thing is that, you know, I choose not to listen to it. And if people want my attention, then they're going to have to talk to me in a way that gets my attention rather than has me turn everything off, because I can't hear the words from all the ugly energy that's surrounding it. And that's just the way I'm built. And it's not always convenient for me, and it's not always convenient for other people. But I keep my area well-boundaried. And I keep my area well contained, and I keep my area as grounded as I can possibly be, so that I can be effective for the Father in the work that He gives me. And when I become confused, I simply go to the Father. So that's what I have to bring tonight. Paying attention to each other, being kind to each other, understanding that yelling at each other and dismissing each other is just not going to be effective. And we're not going to win this if we tear each other up. We're not going to win this if we keep pawing at each other and saying, you have to hear me this way. There are a lot of mistakes that are occurring. And people I see seem to be responding to the mistakes rather than to what is actually true. So I'm not spending as much time on social media. I'm just doing the study and doing the work and putting out what I need to put out as the Father leads. And that's what I have for this evening. I am going to go ahead and sign off a little bit early. The Father says, yeah, that's enough. People kind of get the message. You know, we're all working very, very hard to make sense of a lot of things that don't seem to make sense. And being patient with one another and understanding that we're all going to have frustration thresholds and loving each other through it, deeply caring about the situation that one another is in, not knowing, but caring nonetheless. Give each other to God. Lift it all up to the Lord. Let Him settle this seemingly ripply little river that we've got going, that I sense is going, and it's extremely uncomfortable for me. So I tend to stand back from the riverside when everything is raging and wait until all of the stuff simmers down so that the truth can be seen, because you can't see the bottom of the river while it's churning. You just can't. And I'll leave that with you. I hope you found some value in tonight's broadcast or podcast. Pod people, we love you too. Didn't have anybody calling in on the wire, and I guess there's a reason for that as well. I am your host, Leanna Grace. We've been broadcasting live from the high mountain desert. I'm reminding you too, as always, to watch for those signposts, connect these dots to find your path to live in love and do something good as we learn to forgive. Until next time, good night. Amid lies, we seek truth. Amid truth,